Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And I will say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Remember, Christmas is 12 days. Don't let anyone jip you away from all 12 days. Well, welcome to the first Sunday after Christmas. As we journey in these 12 days of Christmas. And it's good that we are here together, and together we will experience God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. Just very briefly, I want to point out that our liturgy today is our Christmas Day liturgy that we want to celebrate with you all. So it's going to look a little different, and we're going to enjoy it together. So just pay attention as we get to different elements and we sing them to our Christmas hymns. But now, I would invite you all to stand and turn facing our baptismal font as we remember our baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who give us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for this gift. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image and placed us in a well-watered garden. In the desert you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross you washed us from Jesus' and on this day you shower us again with the water of life.
We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, and for all water everywhere.
Bathe us in your forgiveness and grace and love. Satisfy all who thirst, and give us the life only you can give.
To you be given honor and praise, Jesus Christ, our living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Oh,
love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Lord,
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own power.
As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
And now we invite our children forward for a children's sermon. How are you guys?
Good.
You have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, I asked my kids this question too, so I'll ask you this. But what was your favorite gift and why was it your dad who gave it to you? Actually, don't answer. You can lay. Thank you, lady. Very something. Well, okay. Woo! That was nowhere to go. You can tell when I had time to prepare, not time to prepare for Christmas. And I was going to bring in some bread, but the ferrets ate it. So here we go. You all know the story. What was Christ laid in? A manger. Right? We all know a manger. Friends, what's a manger?
Eating trough.
A feeding trough, right? And what do you feed in a manger with? Animals, right? But specifically, what goes in the feeding trough? Hay or
barley,
grain. Hay is kind of an American thing, I think, right? It's mostly grains in the ancient world that goes into the feeding trough. So I want you to think about this. The manger holds grain. What do you make bread with? Grain. So that infant Jesus is laid in a manger that holds grain. And then later in our service, we will encounter the Jesus as a loaf of bread. And this is the story, the miraculous story that we are telling ourselves about how God is always with us. In the most unlikely of places, as a baby in a manger, always with us as bread for our journey, God is always with us. In the good times, in the bad times, in the hard times, in the sad times. And our story today is kind of sad. Not kind of sad, it's really sad. But there is Christ, there is God. Still with us. So let us pray, friends. Count through your bringing hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for always being with us.
Thank you for always being with us.
Good morning. A reading from the book of Isaiah. Hear now the word. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy. According to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not act deceitfully, and he became their savior. In all their distress, it was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and pity, it was he who redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll be singing the psalm this morning. It's found on page 6 of your bulletin. I'll begin by singing the light print. Please respond as a group by singing the dark print. Psalm 148.
Who made them steadfast forever
from the earth. You see monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempest with doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
From the letter to the Hebrews. Hear now the word. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Joy for all the nations, Christ, the God of joy.
second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise ones, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what it had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled: "He will be called Nazarene." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I struggled to try and figure out how to explain what I think this text means to me, at least. So let me tell you a story. In seminary and preparing for ministry, you have to do this thing called CPD, which is clinical pastoral education. What that means is you're a hospital intern and chaplain for 3 months. And in Philadelphia, well, there's the Hospital University of Philadelphia, downtown Philadelphia. Number one trauma center in the nation, where the medical doctors go to train, to prepare for war, for either guaranteed to have shooting victims in Philadelphia. Well, it was rumored to be the hardest CPE location in Pennsylvania. And so I said, that's the one I'm applying for. Why? Because, to quote JFK, I didn't want to do it because it was easy. I wanted to do it because it was hard. And I got in there for the interview, and the director asked me, "Why do I want to work here?" And I said, "It's quite simple. You know, I was still in my 20s, a lot of book knowledge, really young, didn't have much life experience. So I said, I want to know if my faith is real. I want to know if after going here and working here for 3 months, come out and say, this is what I really believe. And more importantly, if what I believe I can say with honesty to someone who's suffering." So I landed the gate. And it was as brutal as it was rumored to be. Some nights you have 6 people die on you, 6 phone calls to family members, trauma room, everything. Everything that I hoped it would be. At the end of the 3 months, I realized my faith had to die because it didn't meet the moment. And so, yes, friends, it took 20 years to sort that out. Some things happened in those 3 months I still like have a hard time talking about. But I realized that naivety, that naive faith I entered into that. That faith was all pious words and trying to get the right answers and check marks so you get an A in the class. It was not the faith of the real world. Or at least wasn't strong enough. And I wonder if that's the dynamic today. But you know, last week, it was wonderful, and I will say I had a magical, wonderful Advent and Christmas with family and friends, meeting new people, meeting, reconnecting with family and new family. I hope in oranges and angels dancing and everything that was Advent for us, it was very magical. But now is the question. Is the faith of last week strong enough for the reality of today? You know, I did say when we started Advent, right, the great danger of Christmas is escapism. And let's pretend the world doesn't exist and just escape into the fairy tale of elves and all the good stuff and just pretend the rest of the world doesn't exist. And I don't bash escapism, because sometimes you've got to get away. Even grief has to take a break sometimes. So if you need to go escape to recharge the battery, by all means, go with my blessing. But nonetheless, you should recharge a battery for the real world. Not just pretend the world doesn't exist. And so on Christmas Eve, we sung Silent Night, and were like me, you got choked up and all teary with hope and all those faith, hope, and love in the middle of singing Silent Night. And this morning we have Rachel weeping for her children. That's another set of tears. And maybe our Christian lives live between those two sets. A famous theologian once said that this is the only true Christmas story because it's difficult. There's a way in the manger happens, and now the real world falls, and the innocents are killed. And the only way to have Christmas, and this is still Christmas, friends, is to realize with faith that this is the reason Christ. Innocent children are still being slaughtered. And if God is with us and the promise is Emmanuel with us, then God is with us. Through the good moments, he is with us in the silent night. God is with us when Rachel is weeping for the children. And it's Christmas because it's night outside. So what is the invitation in Christmas? What especially this first Sunday of Christmas? Friends, the Christ has come. And Christ bears the burden of the world for us. And the invitation, I think, is always for us to understand that deeply. That God is suffering alongside us, with us, in us. Around us. And then maybe the call is for us to go back out and try and alleviate the suffering through acts of love. And acts of love, if you love, you will take upon yourself your own set of crosses. Friends, you never have to search for suffering. Just search for people to love, and the suffering will follow. And maybe, as we imagine, the infant Christ fleeing to Egypt in the dead of night, maybe we can find ways we too can bear the burden in love for the sake of the other. Because this, I think, is the story. Self-sacrificial love that bears the burden of that love is what heals the world. And so while it's still Christmas, I hope you still have some presents left over you can open. Let us also remember the world is still broken. And the hope of Christmas Day is that Christ is here in it to win it all the way to the end, to death, in order that there may be resurrection for us. And there is a new day coming, Christ. Doesn't change the problems of today. Only we can do that by bearing the burdens for our friends. But we do that that a new day is dawning. And so, friends, we come to the table, and again, it always comes to this table. Because Christ is here poured out. And it's bread. Friends, bread for the journey. Bread because this whole story begins in a manger. Come here, take, to realize that God has never left. Always, always, so that we may go out and love the world. Amen.
Amen.
Empowered by the news of Christ's birth, let us pray boldly for the church, creation, and all who are in need. God of grace, you show us mercy, not according to our worthiness, but according to the abundance of your steadfast love. Grant us the courage to go into the world and do likewise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of abundance, the sun and moon praise you, and the shining stars sing of your love. Where we have desecrated your creation, make us into a healing balm for what we have broken. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of righteousness, when leaders fail to fulfill their calls to enact justice, you suffer alongside us. Propel those in power to see you reflected in the faces of all they serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, you claim us as your own and care for us as Christ's siblings. Pour out your compassion in every place your people suffer, and protect them in the palm of your hand. We pray especially for Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalea, Ed, Jean, Jeannie, Paul. For immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of compassion, you nurture children as the apple of your eye. As you sheltered your son Jesus from Herod's grasp, shelter all children in danger. As you comforted Rachel, comfort all who have lost children to violence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love, you console those who weep for lost beloved ones. Even as we mourn, we offer thanks for those who have gone before us, trusting in your comfort and protection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With the joy of Christ's birth in our hearts, we commend our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your boundless mercy and eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
invite us to come back together and please stand for our offering time. Gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering therefore his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you.
Drink this cup, taste and see.
body and blood, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Incarnate God, you are among us at this table. May we treasure this gift and ponder in our hearts the mystery of your presence. Move us to discover the wonders of your love in everyday moments of our lives. Through Christ born in us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we just pause for some announcements, and I don't know that I have a whole lot at the moment, but just to remind our council members, we do have council after church, and is there any, am I forgetting anything, council members? I have nothing new. Office is back open, so we will see you all on Tuesday. And with that, let us move on to the blessing.
The Lord bless and keep you, look with love upon you, be gracious and cause his face to shine with peace.
Glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as he
go in joy, embody God's redeeming grace.
Thanks.